The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So for those of you who might not have been here, just a little bit repeat, mindfulness practice is using our capacity to pay attention in a little bit more active way than we usually do. Usually we don't use our attention very actively. In some ways, you can think of our, often as we go through our life, there's a certain kind of passivity to our attention, meaning that we certainly use our attention, like we're driving and we're using our attention, but it's kind of a little bit, sometimes on kind of an automatic pilot, our attention. And so very easily it'll stray into all kinds of thoughts and concerns and preoccupations, and in a way sometimes it causes quite a bit of stress. And we don't really take responsibility for our attention in a clear, a full way. And mindfulness practice involves beginning to take a little bit active responsibility for what's happening with our attention. So one of the little cliches, I don't know if you, maybe you won't appreciate it, but that sometimes, like when you teach kids, we say, you know where your mind is. You should always know where your mind is. Like, you should always know where your kid is. Many times people don't know where their mind is because they're involved in their thoughts and preoccupations. And so it's not just attention we're using, but a little bit form of active attention where we're getting behind and choosing to use our attention in a particular way. And that is to pay careful attention to what's happening in the present moment. And what happens when we start using active attention, it tends to pull the rug from underneath all the more automatic pilot ways which attention gets hijacked for purposes of stress, that to bring stress. If we get caught up and preoccupied or get really afraid or get anxious or get filled with aversion or animosity, then attention gets channeled into those emotions or those motivations. And attention is like a really precious commodity. And so that it's like food. And if the food goes into greed or the food goes into anger or the food goes into fear, then we actually, what happens is we tend to reinforce those tendencies. So if we're getting preoccupied and stressed by things, usually it's because our attention is being pulled into some stressful way of being. If we choose to actively claim our attention and be attentive here and now, we pull the rug from underneath, or we take the food away from our involvement with those other tendencies. It's not automatic, and that doesn't happen, you know, black and white from one moment to the next, but we begin changing the direction of what's being fed in our minds. Instead of being feeding ambition and greed and wanting, or fear or anxiety, or self-critical thoughts, or angry thoughts, or depressing thoughts, we're feeding the capacity to be attentive or clear in a way that we start becoming independent or free from the preoccupations we have. So an aspect of mindfulness practice is beginning to take a responsibility for our attention and what our attention is doing. Initially, when people start meditation, it often feels like it's a little bit of work. And maybe it is initially, because you're not used to using this muscle. But as you start using this muscle of actively choosing to pay attention to the present moment, and after a while things settle down and calm down, it becomes easier and easier to pay attention, so much so that meditators at some point say that there's no more activity involved in being attentive. It's kind of, it's very relaxed, almost passive. Attention just open and clear. It's not going anywhere. It's not picking up our preoccupations and our concerns, but the attention is at rest, but very alert and luminous here in the present moment. But to get to that kind of, it's kind of like, maybe it's a little bit like taking a bicycle, and first you have to bike up the hill. It takes some work. You get to the top of the hill, then you get to glide down. And so the same thing with the mind. We have to make some effort to overcome the strong pull of our preoccupations so that we can be here. And once we've overcome that pull, then we're just kind of gliding downhill. It's quite easy and very pleasurable, very enjoyable to meditate. So So one of the challenges in meditation is overcoming the mind's tendency to get involved in preoccupying thoughts. And preoccupying thoughts are considered in meditation circles to belong to a category of thinking called discursive thinking. And discursive thinking is when you're having a conversation in your head. And it could be you're actually having a conversation with someone, you're repeating a conversation from early in the day and trying to figure out a better answer or response. Or it could be that you're imagining a conversation you're having tomorrow. It could be that you're making commentary about something. And so mostly you're having a monologue with yourself, but it's kind of discursive. It's like conversational. I wonder what I should have for dinner tomorrow, and I had pizza today, and maybe spaghetti would be good, but that's a lot of starch, and when am I going to have protein? And, oh, I'm supposed to be meditating. And so you're involved in this whole kind of menu planning. And sometimes the discursive kind of thinking, conversational thinking, can be about the present moment. I'm having an itch on my cheek. I wonder what could it be. Could it be mosquito? No, it's probably the early onset of melanoma. And certainly I should go and see the doctor, but I can't afford to see a doctor because I don't have a good job. And you know, I never seem to get good jobs. In fact, not only don't get good jobs, I don't get good roommates. And that lousy roommate of mine today left a sink full of dirty dishes. And I'm always making these bad choices in my life, and I really need to get some help. I need to get either a life coach or a therapist, but I can't afford that. But since I can't afford it, maybe what I've heard that meditation is free. I should try that. Then, oh, wait a minute. That's what I'm doing. I'm meditating. We get, you know, carried into this conversation, right? And a lot of the very painful and stressful ways people think belong to this conversational, the discursive level of thinking. And people who have studied depression have found one of the leading causes of depression coming back or perpetuating is the way we talk to ourselves. And so if you have these, if you talk to yourself in negative ways, like, oh, this is, then it kind of, you know, drains our energy. It kind of pulls us down. So learning to recognize when we're involved in discursive thinking and learning to put it aside or learn to appreciate that that's not where meditation occurs. We're not thinking our way into a better meditation. That's why we say in the meditation circle sometimes, meditation is not what you think. Because it's not about thinking. But the habit of thinking is so powerful that people negotiate their life so much through the world of their thinking, it's almost inconceivable, unthinkable, that you could even be alive without thinking a lot. But meditation involves, you don't necessarily stop thinking in meditation, but what it involves is no longer involved in that conversational thinking, discursive thinking. And it doesn't happen automatically that you can stop doing it, but you can at least understand that this is not what we're trying to do, and that we're trying to not invest our interest, our curiosity, our future, or whatever, in the world of discursive thinking. We're not trying to figure out our life through this world of thinking when we meditate. So an analogy that was helpful for me and maybe for you is many years ago, I was teaching a retreat with a couple of, a few colleagues, meditation teachers. And this was back when the 49ers were doing really well. So a long time ago. And one of the teachers was a big football fan. And so we were watching during the retreat, during a break, the retreatants were all meditating and the teachers are watching football on TV. And so it was, you know, fine. We were sitting and watching. And I don't know much about football. But at some point, there was a commercial and the teacher pushed the mute button during the commercial. That's a reasonable thing to do. At the end of the commercial and the game started, the teacher had the remote, didn't unmute it. And he was a mindfulness teacher. And we stopped talking, we started looking at TV, and there was no sound. And since he was a mindfulness teacher, I figured he must know, he must have recognized there's no sound. So I thought, that's interesting, so let's just kind of go along with this, see what that's like. And that's kind of the spirit of mindfulness, is let's see what it's like, let's see what's going on here. Rather than, oh no, it has to be a certain way. It's, let's look more carefully. So I started looking at the football game without sound. And I could follow the game enough. I know enough to watch these people. They line up and they fall down. And then they line up again, and one person somehow managed to run free around the sides, and he's running on the field, and you see he crosses those lines, and that seems like a good thing. But then some other guy comes off from the left and tackles him, and he falls down. That's too bad. So that went on for a while. It was kind of nice and interesting. But then he unmuted it. And when he unmuted it, it became a whole different experience to watch the football game. Because then we had sound, and in particular we had the sound of the commentator, the sportscaster, who was going through it step by step, what was going on. And I could feel what a big impact it had on me to be listening to the game through the filter of the commentator making the story up. You know, oh, he's at the 40-yard line, the 30-yard line. And I could feel the excitement in me, you know, with him. You know, oh, I was ready to jump out of my chair. You know, like the 10-yard, he's going to make it, yes. As opposed to just, oh, that's interesting, you know, 40, 30, 20. You know, and I was being pulled into the game in the excitement of it. So in my experience of watching the football game with the sound, didn't occur to me to distinguish the game from the effect that the commentator had on me. But the commentator had a big impact energetically and emotionally in how I was involved in the game. So the same thing happens, you know, with movies where they had mood music. And so there's it's a really beautiful pastoral scene with a trail in the woods. It just looks so idyllic. And then the ominous music, and then you start something terrible is going to happen. The music made you feel that way, not the scene. So the same thing happens in the mind. We have our own commentator. We have our own canned laughter. We have our own mood music that sets in. And we tend to then to see our experience through the filter of that. It has a big impact on us, as opposed to seeing things directly as they are in and of themselves. And that's the task of this active mindfulness attention, is to learn to step out of the normal commentating that we often have, to be in the present moment and to see our present moment experience without a lot of commentary. So if you're sitting there following your breath, your breathing, you wouldn't, it's very easy to sit there and have discursive thinking about your breath. Then, you know, this is, wow, my breath is kind of shallow today. You know, I'm in California near Esalen, and you're supposed to have a deep breath and very relaxed breath, and surely that's the ideal, but I'm very shallow and fast, and I hope no one's noticing. I'm at a Buddhist center. And I should, you know, not have had 3 cups of coffee before coming here. Next time I'll have to plan better, and actually coffee is a good idea, and maybe I'll try a different flavor next time, and then you're not even in touch with the breath anymore. Or it could be, you know, you're in touch with the breath and you're having a little story about your breath not being the right breath for California. And then you must be a really bad person, and it's embarrassing, and, you know, certainly if you were a more perfect person, you'd have this deep, relaxed breath, and you'd be floating on a cloud, and wouldn't that be nice? But you're not that kind of person. You're a loser. You know, and so you're kind of in the present moment, but you're doing all this stuff on top of it, right? Mindfulness practice involves using active attention that's very simple. To bring our attention to the breathing, and if you have a shallow breath, you just know, you're aware of what it feels like to have a shallow breath. No commentary. It's not wrong, it's not right, it's not something else doesn't need to be seen as being better. It just is what it is. It might be uncomfortable, shallow breathing, sometimes. And so then you just be mindful, be aware, this is what shallow breathing is like. Just leave it that simple. And if you have a nice, deep, pleasant breath, you know, oh, this is what a pleasant breath is like. That simple. And so learning how to be present for experience without the ordinary discussions, conversations, judgments, interpretation, commentary we have is one of the ways that we do 2 things. Mindfulness helps us to de-stress, because it's the commentary that causes often stress. And we start seeing things more directly for what they are, rather than through the filter of the commentary. Because a good percentage of the time, The commentary and interpretations we have of our life, of our experience, is not that accurate. And I don't know what your track record is of accuracy, but it's the human mind is not necessarily as wise as it thinks it wants to be. So it becomes wiser when we can start seeing more clearly. And so the word for this practice in Buddhist language, the technical word is vipassana, but all it means is clear seeing. It's a practice of clear seeing. So that makes a little bit of sense? So we'll try it. So taking an upright, relaxed posture. And closing your eyes. And then taking a few longer and slower breaths than usual. Set yourself at ease, if you can. First, let your body be at ease, or be at ease in your body. Or if you feel uneasy in any way, see if you can be easy with that. And then as you exhale, see if you can begin relaxing your body a little bit. It might be possible to relax your shoulders. It might be interesting to see if you can relax around your shoulder blades or soften around them a little bit. And perhaps you can soften your belly. Some people find it helpful to let the belly hang forward. So it becomes soft and maybe a little bit more extended than usual. And some people find it helpful to relax the muscles of the face. Soften the eyes and the forehead. Perhaps softening around the cheeks and the jaws. In any other way that you could soften or relax any tension that's in your body. Soften around it. And then letting your breathing be normal. Become aware of your breathing. Become aware of how your body is breathing. And while it can be done in a relaxed way, you're actively choosing to let your attention be here in the present moment with the experience of breathing. And you might feel that the sense of the body breathing by the movements of your stomach or the movements of your chest. Or there might be the sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. Wherever it's easiest to notice your breathing. Let yourself feel or experience that as fully as you can, noticing how the sensations in your body of breathing vary as you breathe in and as you breathe out. And then as you stay with your breathing the best you can, you'll notice sometimes that your mind will wander off in thought, into commentary and ideas, or perhaps images in the mind. And when that happens, bring your attention back to your breathing. See if you can do it without any commentary, just a very matter of fact, recognizing you've wandered off, and then simply come back and start again with your breathing. No need to judge it or analyze it, just come back and start again. And also notice if there's any ways in which you are involved in commentary and judgments or interpretations. About what's happening. And experiment to see if you can be really simple with your direct experience of breathing in and breathing out. With little effort to hang in there. Hang out with that experience of breathing. perhaps every time you exhale, to let go of whatever you're thinking about. And slowly begin to shed the concerns of the day. Over and over again, letting go. Over and over again, beginning again with your breathing. And hanging in there with a rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. And now we're going to shift a little bit what we're doing here. And with as little commentary or judgment as you can, shift your attention away from your breathing and let your attention move towards the strongest sensation in your body. And without judgment or commentary, just feel. In very as relaxed way as you can, just feel the strongest sensation in your body. Feeling in such a simple way that it's almost as if the sensation has permission to be there and you're just getting to know it more fully. And as you stay and feel the strongest sensation in your body, if it disappears, find another sensation. But if it stays, just stay with it and be with it and notice if anything changes about it as you're watching it. Does it get stronger or weaker, bigger or smaller? Let there be a full acknowledgement of the sensation. And then take your attention and now bring it back to your breathing. And feel your breathing again. And we'll stay with the breathing for another 2 minutes. sitting here meditating. And then it's often good to end the meditation slowly by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths, feeling your body. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So we started mostly with focusing on the breath for a while, and then I had you switch to notice the strongest sensation in your body, and then go back for a few minutes to the breath. Whether it's the breath or sensations in your body, they're experiences that are happening in the present moment. And so what we're trying to do with mindfulness is to train the mind to be more in the present moment, not to be lost in thought. If you're in discursive thinking, you're probably in the future or the past or in fantasy. And so we want to ground the attention, keep the attention to something that's happening in the present moment. And the classic place to keep it, to train ourselves, is with the breathing. There's something about the rhythmic alternation, movements of the breath and the body, that is one of the better places to train the attention for most people to be in the present moment. However, the practice of mindfulness is not just a breath meditation practice, but it's a practice of learning to develop a certain kind of heightened attention, clear seeing, in all the things happening in the present moment. And so what happens in our body is a very important part of our life. And so when that becomes predominant in our experience, the instruction is to let go of the breath and bring kind of meditative attention to the sensations in our body. So it might be interesting to hear from some of you what happened to you when you brought your attention to the sensation, strongest sensation in your body. I can imagine a lot of different things happened in the room with this many people. But anybody want to share what happened when you made that change?
Before you command for us to go back to the body, I was just feeling my thumb.
Sorry?
I was just feeling my thumb touching each other. But then when you said, now let's move from the breath to feel the sensation, the strong sensation in your body, I felt, oh my God, My jaw is hurting, my eyes hurting, my knees hurting, my feet is hurting. Oh my God, where am I going to go? Okay, I'm going to go first to my eye. And say, no, just keep slowly, one thing at a time. And then two breaths away, the eye's gone. The thumb disappeared. And then I just came back and just put the knee. And then it was time to come back to the breath. And then I was surprised that the eye and the knee just disappeared again. Because I was just with the thumb, feeling each other. Yeah. And then it was a trip to go and just kind of, wow, the panic, yeah. And then back again. What's the nice trip?
Great. So from when you were involved in the commentary or the discursive thinking, it was, oh my God. But when you brought your attention and actually experienced it and looked at it directly, it turned out to be fine for you. Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you. I saw a hand over here.
I put my attention towards my neck and behind my neck, and I felt, you know, a little pain. And then it was like my whole body released, and I felt very dizzy and nauseous. And with each breath, I kept feeling dizzy and nauseous.
And so you had pain in the back. You brought attention to there, and you felt something release.
Yeah.
And then came the nausea.
Yeah, uh-huh. And at first it was very scary.
Yeah.
And I almost felt like I was tipping, but then I just kept going with it and breathing, and it came and it went.
Uh-huh.
It came and it went.
Uh-huh. So the discursive thinking, the, you know, commentary got afraid of it.
Yeah.
But if you actually turned and actually felt it directly, it came and went, it was a lot easier. And this is, both of you had similar experience, I would say. And one of the things, I mean, in that sense, that life is a lot harder usually when we're thinking about it. I mean, this is not, I'm not advocating don't think again. Thinking is an important part of life. But it's very, very interesting to see the difference between how fear and anger and all kinds of things can come into play when we start getting involved with our judgments, our anticipations, our expectations, and what it means. So when you've experienced something directly and simply, it's often a lot easier. Now, your experience of feeling nauseous, you had a release of some kind of tension. That can happen sometimes. People carry a lot of tension in their body, and sometimes those, there's a variety of things like emotions or feelings that are stored there. In the release of that energy, release of those feelings, there can be a transition where people sometimes feel a little bit unusual and uncomfortable or something. And that's just a transition, but it's good to let go of the tension. So someone else. Is a speaker loud enough for people, or should we turn it up? Is it okay? Turn it up a little bit. Can you turn it up the volume a little bit? I think the master one's on your right. The white one? I think that's master. Is that a little bit better? No difference? That any better? Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I noticed I was noticing a twinge in my lower right side of my back. And when I started concentrating on it or paying attention to it, I started losing my balance. I felt like I was falling forward. And I don't know whether it's due to the fact that I'm tired. I really noticed the balance falling forward.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that's about. I mean, sometimes when people are very concentrated, were you very still, not much thinking going on?
Yeah.
In your mind? Sometimes you might have been falling forward, or it might have been, sometimes when people get very concentrated, ordinary perception starts to change a little bit. And people have for a while kind of a little bit altered perceptions of things. And nothing's really changed, but it's just somehow the mind is reconstructing, the calm mind is trying to still reconstruct. So one of the common meditation experiences for beginners is sometimes their body will start feeling like it has like really squat or really long, like you're lifting up to the ceiling, or your neck gets really long, or your hand gets really big, or kind of. And sometimes people will open their eyes to make sure everything's okay. And it's a kind of a temporary phase people go through sometimes as they're getting calm. And as they're getting calm, the activity of kind of reconstructing our reality kind of hasn't calmed down completely. And so it's still but it's not completely active like it usually is also. So sometimes a balance issue, something like that. So that's my guess. Someone else? One more. Yeah, here.
I was feeling a pressure where the foot touches the ground on the right side. And then as I was paying attention to it, then it seemed like it went away. And then a little later, it seemed like it was heightened awareness of that. And then just time to get to the breath again.
So you had pressure on your leg and you brought
the foot, yeah.
And when you brought attention to it, it went away. And it felt like it was hiding.
Right.
Yeah. Now, what do you think it would have, if you, and was the pressure painful a little bit?
Or just, yeah, a little discomfort.
A little discomfort?
Can I go on in this position longer?
So if you had not been meditating, but say you're just sitting someplace quietly, and you had that pain, that discomfort, pressure, and maybe you couldn't move, you were at an important gathering, and you shouldn't be fidgeting or something, what would your mind have done normally with that?
I think I get more and more anxious about it.
Normally, why would I get more anxious?
It's like I don't think I could maintain this position a lot longer. I gotta change. I gotta do something about it.
So you're telling yourself this story. I can't do it. And you're winding yourself up.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that this time, what did you do instead?
I just paid attention.
Just to pay attention. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's amazing.
A simple thing. The commentator. Those commentators get paid a lot.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do. But they're not always needed. And in fact, they're needed a lot less than we realize. And so it's quite powerful to bring the simple attention to actually feel and experience something rather than think about it. And oftentimes the difficulties we have a lot to do with what we think and our relationship to it. And so to train ourselves just to be there and feel it more carefully helps us free ourselves from the stressful way of thinking and the problems they can cause. But also it helps us to see more directly and immediately what's happening there. And sometimes, you know, you get a clear message that this is dangerous and it's uncomfortable and need to move. That's okay. And sometimes you begin discovering that what you thought was a kind of a certain way of interpreting a sensation was just interpretation. And if you get really close, it turns out it's very different than what you thought. It turns out to be made up of all kinds of sensations, and it's pulsing and moving and vibrating and doing all kinds of interesting things. And also maybe it fades away if you bring careful attention to it. Sometimes certain things, both physically and mentally, emotionally, persist through time because we're thinking about them. And if we stop thinking about them, they don't have the kind of they're not being constructed or made or held in place. So to bring this calm attentiveness to something instead of thinking, it can be a very powerful thing to do. Some people say it's actually very healing for the body to do this. So where we do mindfulness meditation is we start with the breathing. And the breathing is kind of like the center. And then if something else becomes more predominant, more compelling than breathing, then the instruction is to let go of the breathing, stop paying attention there, and bring your meditative attention to feel or experience that other thing that's predominant. So by the time we finish this course, you'll understand that you can bring actually this kind of clear, mindful attention to anything in the human experience, anything you can possibly experience, you can bring this kind of attention to. But today, we're just going to talk about the body. So when you sit and meditate, there can be sometimes strong bodily sensations that come up. For new meditators, it's often uncomfortable sensations. They're not used to sitting this way. But sometimes it can be very, very pleasant sensations in the body that occur when you meditate. If the purpose of meditation was only to stay on the breath, then it's easy to conclude that those strong sensations in your body are a distraction, that they're interfering with your efforts to meditate. In mindfulness meditation, there are no distractions. It's just something else to pay attention to. So we would then let go of the breath and bring that attention and train the attention to be in the present moment and have this careful, non-discursive thinking, attention on the strong sensation. And just be there, feel it, be with it for a while. And then at some point it's acknowledged well enough, or it's gone away, or it's no longer compelling, then we come back to the breathing. So an analogy that maybe illustrates this is the spider sits in the middle of its web and is very content, is very but alert at the web. Something lands elsewhere in the web and the spider will go up and attend to it, whatever that means for a spider. And once it's attended to, the spider comes back and sits in the middle. And so the same thing, we sit in the web, the mandala of our life, and different things happen. And so if something is more compelling than the breath and our mandala, we go and bring our careful attention, attentiveness, present moment attention, to feel and experience that. And then we come back to the breath. So for now, it's the body. The body is a very important part of human life. And for Buddhists, in Buddhist practice, becoming more embodied is a really important goal. For many people in our culture, there's less and less embodiment. You know, the more screen time people have, the less many people really are connected to their body. And so to actually get back into the body, I think, is a big task for many people in this modern world. The body is considered in Buddhism to be extremely important, almost like a repository of wisdom or understanding. The body can be a phenomenal teacher for us. And some of the deeper experiences of joy, of love, of peace, that certainly Buddhist practice can open up to, can only happen if you're really grounded in an embodied way, in your body. It's mediated through the body. And it's a little bit counterintuitive for many people who think that, you know, meditation is all about the mind and getting the mind to do something. But it has a lot to do with the mind, but it's, I think, useful to think of it's the mind through the body. It's not separate from the body. And so an important part of mindfulness practice is learning to pay attention to the body, recognizing what's happening there, and feeling it more fully. And the more you become aware of your body, the more information you have about yourself. The body is constantly reacting to the world, constantly expressing our feelings and attitudes and motivations and ideas. And so and some of it's very subtle, little movements. And if more attentive you are to the body, more you can pick up the messages of the body, what's going on here. And it's sometimes said that the body never lies. The mind can be clever, you know, and it can tell you all kinds of stories that may be not so accurate. But the body is always going to be true. If you tune in and see what's going on there in a careful way. So one of the tasks, so we're not only focusing on breathing, we're also then learning to be in the present moment with our bodily experience. So if there's a strong sensation in the body, we leave the breath and we bring our attention there. Because it's not an alternating sensation, it's a little bit harder sometimes to stay with a strong bodily sensation. And then there's a little meditation trick technique that is used. And it's called mental noting. And that is very quietly, as soft as you can do it in the mind, you label or note that experience. So say that there's an itch. You would say itching, itching. Just as a way of encouraging you, stay there and feel it. See it more clearly. Just like a little nudge. One teacher described it as putting a little frame around the experience so you can really be there and see it and highlight. Or say that, you know, there's your body is hot. Then you would say, or heat, heat. Or you're cold, you'd say cold. Or if you have, if your knee aches, you'd say ache, ache. As a way of acknowledging it fully, but encouraging you to stay there and feel it, so the mind doesn't wander off so much and doesn't so easily go into discursive thinking. So it's using a very rudimentary form of thinking to help you stay present rather than have more active thinking kind of carry you away. Make sense? And then the idea is to feel it carefully, being attentive to the what discursive thinking and commentary and reactions might be interfering with the simplicity of just feeling it as it is. And there might be many that come up. And then if you can, let go of those. If you can't let go of the commentary, then just say thank you. Thank you for your opinion. And just, you know, put it aside. You know, it's like, you know, just, you know, just let it do its thing on the side. But let the primary focus be to feel and experience it directly. Does that make some sense? So I thought we would do another little meditation where I do an exercise with mindfulness of the body. And if you feel like you need to stand for a minute and stretch and sitting for an hour, you're welcome to do that. Many years ago, there was a magazine article that I saw that the title of the article was "The Body: Friend, Foe, or Total Stranger." And from the point of view of Buddhism, the body is supposed to be friends with the body, befriend the body. The body is a great ally and support for our life. So I'm going to guide you through a very simple exercise that will hopefully do a couple of things. One is to give you a sense of how to use actively your attention in a calm way. So a calm, deliberate choice to use your attention or direct your attention in particular ways. And as you do this, kind of watch a little bit this simple, seemingly innocent activity. I'll say, put your attention here, and hopefully you'll follow the instructions. And just, you notice you have that ability to pay attention there. But what it's like to choose and can you do it calmly in a relaxed way? Maybe float your attention there, as opposed to jerk it to there or pounce on whatever I'm telling you to pay attention to. Just in a relaxed way, you know, just bring your attention. So you're actively using your attention to pay attention to something. That's one thing. And the other is, it's going to be pay attention to parts of your body, and then notice that how, as you bring your attention to these parts of the body, that probably you become aware of a more and more sensations in that part of the body. It becomes more alive or with different sensations than you probably would have if you just had not been directed there. And just take it in and feel the fullness of what goes on when you have a heightened sensitivity, heightened awareness to that part of your body. Is that okay? So take a meditation posture. And close your eyes. And maybe you'll take a couple of minutes, just sit quietly, noticing what's happening for you. Noticing if you're involved in discursive thinking or not. And then see if you can put aside your thoughts and concerns in favor for about a minute or so, being with your breathing. Every time you breathe out, maybe let go of your thoughts. And so now, calmly and deliberately, bring your attention into your right hand. And feel your right hand. And notice the particular sensations that are obvious there. Maybe there's vibration, pulsing, tingling, warmth, coolness, pressure, heaviness, lightness. Feeling the palm of the right hand. Feeling the back of the right hand. And feeling the fingers. Perhaps noticing that with your eyes closed, that the boundaries, the edges of your hand are not so sharp. If you rely on only the sensations that are there, especially the parts of the hand that are exposed to the air, and then calmly and deliberately now, move your attention to your left hand. And feel the left hand. Explore the sensations of your left hand, the range, the variety of sensations, and notice what happens to the sensations inside the hand. Are they completely stationary? Do they vibrate and move? And then calmly and deliberately, bring your attention to where you have contact against your chair or your cushion or the floor. And feel the sensations of that contact without commentary. Feeling the pressure or the hardness, the softness, the texture of it, the pulsing, vibration, Perhaps noticing that as you keep your attention in that part of your body where there's contact with the chair or the cushion, that your attention itself is not fixed or stationary. It actually moves around a little bit within that area, which is fine for it to do. Picking up different sensations, different places, slightly different. And now, finally, calmly and deliberately, bring your attention to that part of your body where you were feeling your breathing before, or wherever the breathing is most compelling. And rather than focusing only on the breathing there, see if you can have a heightened awareness of the various sensations that are there in that part of your body where you experience breathing. And notice how in that part of your body where you experience breathing, the sensations shift and change. Every time you breathe out, remembering to let go of your thinking and letting go into the sensations, the experience directly. In the last couple of minutes of this sitting, see if you can have a little heightened awareness, sensitivity to the experience of breathing in the same way that you would quiet your mind to listen to a quiet, distant sound. Let the mind become really quiet so you can feel and sense more acutely, more fully, the sensory experience in your body as you breathe in and breathe out. So as you meditate, sooner or later, your physical experience will become more compelling than the breathing, more difficult, easy, more, you know, and it'll kind of, compelling means it kind of pulls on your attention, it wants you to kind of focus here. And there's no need to struggle to try to stay with the breath, and try to overcome the compelling nature of the strong sensation in the body. But what we do is we turn towards that sensation and do meditation on that sensation. That's what that becomes a meditation. It's not a problem. It's not taking away from the meditation. It becomes the meditation. And over the course of time, as people are meditating, you know, over months and years, there's all kinds of different sensations that will come up in the body. When the people are new, some of them it's structural, like if you're sitting this way, not used to it, you're slowly stretching your tendons and muscles and stuff, and getting, so some discomfort might be there, like that. Some of it has to do with tension and holding that we have in our body. And one of the interesting phenomena is that chronically tense muscles go numb. But as we wake up, as we become more attentive, as we bring more attention to our body, the places of numbness begins to unnumb themselves, become sensitive, aware. But it often, as they become less numb, then you're aware of the pain that's there. And so it's not uncommon like to start feeling pain in the shoulder, or where there's a lot of tension there and feel some pain, or some other places in the body. And one of the commentaries is, oh no, I'm going backwards. I was completely fine running around, being busy and taking care of my life and being on the computer all the time. And now I'm going backwards because I'm all tense and it hurts. I better get back on the computer or the television or, you know, and cell phone and all at the same time. Then I won't feel anything. Then my life is okay. What you do then is you just push underground all the tension and it'll come back and bite you. So in the meditative process, when there's the pain that comes forth is because of tension that we've been holding. It's actually a very important and actually very, very profound process to be able to relax and allow it to be there and hold it in awareness. And if you hold it in awareness, it begins to unravel. It does what it needs to do. Sometimes strong sensations in the body go away when we pay attention to it because we're relaxing around it. But that process of relaxation sometimes has to go through a phase where it actually hurts more. So that's why it's, again, very helpful not to get caught up in the commentary. This means I'm going backwards. This means that I'll be a cripple. You know, and just say, oh, this is uncomfortable. This is what discomfort feels like. I'll just be with discomfort in a very simple way. And probably if you do that way, I might not be so uncomfortable. There's a lot of stuff in our life that gets processed through our body, a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions, a lot of memory and experiences. And in the course of time, as people meditate, as the body relaxes and opens up, we come into these layers in the body where there's all this stuff that's been buried for a long time or ignored for a long time. And so it's good to have a practice which helps you go through that process. And it's simple. It's a simple practice. Simply pay attention to it in a simple way. It can't be that simple, right? I mean, it's my complicated psychology and my life and my history and, you know, my parents and, you know, it's important things to talk about and think about and solve. It's amazing how simple it is. Even the most complex human lives, when we stop the story and just feel it directly for what it is. The body has a tremendous capacity to heal. The body is really smart. The mind, I don't know about your mind, but... And to give you a little example, I don't know if this is a good example, but, you know, I don't know if it's a good, but, so I can cut myself with a knife. I'm in the kitchen and I'm chopping carrots or something and I cut myself, my finger or something. And so then I have this cut. It's a really complicated physiological event to heal that cut. There's a tremendous amount of immune system kicks in and all kinds of things kick in. And I don't think they have a computer that's complicated enough to really track all the different things going on, the complicated phenomena that involved in healing a cut. And I know my poor mind can't figure it out, how it's done. But what my mind can do is create the ideal conditions to allow that the body to heal itself. So I keep it clean, I put a Band-Aid over it. I don't interfere with the healing process. So much of our psychological, emotional, physical kind of life will heal itself if we get out of the way, or if we create the right conditions. And fear and judgment and anticipation and, you know, all these kind of stories, discursive thinking we can do, is not the ideal conditions. It's like putting dirt in the wound. That no good, lousy bastard, you know, he shouldn't have done that, and I'm going to, you know. That doesn't help your anger. It could work itself out. But if you turn and feel your anger or feel the tension around it, just feel the tension in your body, if you keep the story going, you might actually get more tense. But if you drop the story and just feel it, the body will begin to soften and relax because that's what it wants to do. That's, you know, there's a natural tendency. And so there's something very powerful that can happen when we turn our attention to just feel and be in this simple, simple way. The wisdom that's there innately in us has a chance to operate. And my guess, many of you will be quite surprised or in awe of how much innate wisdom the whole system has if you get out of the way with your discursive, active, fixing, engineering, you know, fixing, you know, figuring out your life. And the simple thing, just come here and feel it. Be present for it. Be patient with it and feel it. Now, if you're really uncomfortable when you're meditating, you always have the option to change your posture. You know, if your knees hurt or something, please do. Change your posture, make yourself comfortable. But don't change your posture right away at the first instinct, the first, you know, habit of, you know, every time there's discomfort, I'll change my posture. Spend a few little bit of time turning towards whatever the discomfort is and really feel it carefully. And as you feel it carefully, you can distinguish between whether you really need to move or you're moving because you're impatient. And or moving because you simply don't like it. And you're a slave of desires, likes and dislikes. If you're a slave of likes and dislikes, that's a setup to get tense in your life, to building up stress. If you can learn how to have likes and dislikes without being caught by them, that's a formula for learning to have a more relaxed life, more peaceful life. So we spend a little bit of time with the body looking at the strong sensations. It might be necessary to move, But don't move automatically. Spend some time getting to know what's going on. And then you'll be a little wiser to know whether to hang in there longer or whether to move. So I hope that this instruction here will now make it easier for you, those of you whose bodies get strong sensations, that you've been a little bit struggling with them because the instruction so far the first week was stay with the breath. Now you can let go of the breath and pay attention to that. Now for the next week, let's keep it that simple. Stay with your breath. If strong sensations in the body come up, then just feel that. And when it's no longer compelling or it's acknowledged, go back to your breathing. Just that simple. I know some of you are already ahead of the program and already having emotions. You know, you're kind of precocious and stuff. So if you can just kind of hold off with your emotions for a week. Next week, I'll talk about mindfulness of emotions, an important part of human life, often misunderstood, or often we have complicated relationships with them. And so we'll talk about how mindfulness practice relates to our emotional life, and how to bring mindfulness to emotions as opposed to being, you know, having them get in the way. So I hope that all was clear. There is a handout, a yellow sheet of paper. I don't know, is it over by the entryway there? Yeah, it's on the end of the stage there, somewhere. So it goes over some of these instructions, and also there is some exercises you can try doing, mindfulness exercises of the body in your daily life. Because this practice I'm teaching you isn't only applicable in meditation, but it's also applicable in daily life. And it's really interesting, as you're standing in the supermarket line, you could do a lot of different things there. You could look at the National Enquirer. You could be impatient and wonder why the clerk's taking so long and could be irritated. You could be judging what they bought. How could they buy that? You could be wondering, looking up and down, wondering, you know, is there a better line? There's a lot of things you could do. One of the things you can do is to check into your body. And notice what's happening in your body as you stand there. And if you really take it in, what's really happening in your body, how would that change the choices you make about what's important to do while you're there? Just see what it does. So just in ordinary life, standing in line, feel your body and see what happens when you've really taken in and experienced your body fully. It's a powerful thing to do. So thank you. And see you next week.